About 44 years ago, my dad went away on vacation, and he asked me to speak. And in the morning service, we had a visiting pastor, and I was going to do the evening service. And the pastor preached the very sermon I was going to preach in the evening. And I thought to myself, what in the world am I going to do? I was a young preacher back then. I thought, wow. So it's Sunday morning Sunday school, July the 3rd, 2022. And the Sunday school teacher gets up and asks the people to turn to Daniel. And my heart stopped. But praise God, he preached or taught from Daniel chapter 5, and I'm going to teach from Daniel chapter 6. What a great introduction to my sermon today, Brother Watkin. But take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to 2 Peter chapter 3 and Daniel chapter 6. And while you're turning there, and we'll begin in 2 Peter chapter 3, the title of today's message, They Could Find None. Have you ever wanted to find something? Have you ever looked for something in your house and you know where it's at and you look and it's not there? Anybody? And then you begin looking elsewhere and you begin looking in places it could never be. But you're trying to find that whatever, and it's amazing how you never find it. And you just think, where did it go? Now in my house, my wife blames me. And you know who I blame? The dog. His fault. Would you please stand with me as we read from 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes, This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles, of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. Now, folks, I don't know if we're in the last days, but there are plenty of scoffers. There are those who call good evil and call evil good. Verse 4. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. And then verse 9, if you underline verses in your Bible or highlight them on your phone, this should be one of them. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. Can I hear an amen there? That he is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words that were penned so many years ago for our benefit. And Lord, we see the love and the grace and the mercy of our God in that He desires that all should come to repentance. Lord, we pray now that You would bless these that are here. Lord, be with our pastor and his wife as they travel. Bring them back safely to us. Bless the events of the month of July, Lord. May they be of encouragement to us. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. It is my belief that no one can believe in evolution if they truly look at creation. Ponder this one thought. From fins to feet. In other words, from life that was in water, somehow now coming out of the water and coming onto land. How is that possible? Did they get feet before they left the water? Because they certainly couldn't have gotten them after they left through the water. Because what would happen to a fish when it leaves the water? It's going to die. The evolutionist said, well, no, it wouldn't die. It just went from fins to feet. I have here a magazine, Acts and Facts. Can you see what's on the front? Can anybody see what that is? It's a turtle. A very nice looking turtle. Do you know that all turtle skeletons, fossils, look the same? They all look the same. A turtle has always been a turtle. And yet they are willingly ignorant because they do not want to believe in God. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Daniel, chapter 6. Let me ask you this question. Do you think it's hard to be a believer in today's world? You think it is? To stand up for the cause of Christ, to openly talk about Jesus, to talk about creation and our Creator. Is it easy today? Can I tell you what? It's very easy compared to Daniel's day. Much easier today. How about Noah's day? See, it's been hard down through the years, and yet the believers, the remnant, has always been called to stand up for their Creator, God. But you know what's going to happen? We're going to find those that don't like our Creator, God. They want to put God in a box. They want to put God in gold or silver or precious stones or wood. Something that they can create. Let's begin reading at verse 1. Daniel chapter 6. It pleased Darius. Now, if you were in Sunday school, you realize that Darius was the leader of the Medes and Persians that destroyed Babylon. He was about 62. And he was set over the kingdom 120 princes that should be over the whole kingdom. 120. Now notice verse 2. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first. So how many men were there? 123, right? 120 princesses and three presidents, of which Daniel was number one. You know, it's interesting, Belshazzar was going to make Daniel the third in the kingdom. Darius makes him number two in the kingdom. Continuing. And the princes might give accounts unto them that the king should have no damage. In other words, someone's got to take the blame for anything that goes wrong, and it is not going to be the king. Someone else is going to have to take the blame. Verse 3. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Darius, the Mede, who was in charge, sets up his kingdom, and 123 men are put in positions of importance. And Daniel, who has an excellent spirit or is admirable, is number one amongst all these. Verse 4. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. Was it because he was a Jew? Was it because he believed in a creator God? Why were these 122 men jealous of Daniel? They wanted to find an occasion against him. They were jealous. I have told you this, that jealousy is a terrible, terrible sin. All of us probably at one time or another have been jealous of someone or something. And it makes us think irrationally. It makes us do things that we would never think of doing otherwise. And when you become jealous and envious, you can become angry, resentful. You become a tool of Satan. Do you realize that? That when you become jealous, you become a tool of Satan. Because you are now going to do his work instead of doing the Lord's work. And so if jealousy creeps into your heart, do whatever it takes to rip it out and get rid of it. Let's continue reading. Verse 4 again. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Now, it seems to me that you would want to become the friend of Daniel, not his enemy. You would want to become someone that was close to Daniel because Daniel was close to the king. You would want to be his friend, and yet these men are envious of him and want to bring him down. Verse 5. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. He is faithful to his God. Should we be faithful to our God? At least on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, right? Shouldn't we be faithful to God 24/7? Isn't that easy to become faithful to God 24/7? In fact, isn't that the easiest thing you do every day in your life? Let me tell you a little secret about this man right here. It's not easy. We live in such a way that we struggle. I'll be the first to tell you, I struggle. The Apostle Paul said he was chief among sinners. It's something that we have to do on purpose, on purpose. Let's continue reading. Then these presidents and princes assembled themselves to the king and said unto him, King Darius, live forever. You know, we find that these men have decided we've got to bring Daniel down. He makes us look bad. We have to remove him. Let me ask you this question before we go any further. If you were put on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? If you were put on trial for being a believer of our awesome Creator God, Is there enough evidence to convict you of that statement? Continue reading now. Verse 7. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius, what? Signed the writing and the decree. We find here a wicked plan. A wicked plan. We find an arrogant leader. Darius thinks, wow, that sounds cool. Nobody can ask anything of anybody but of me. Darius is 62-ish, a little bit beyond. I'll be the first to tell you, as you grow older, you begin to forget some things. Yes? Yeah. What should Darius have thought immediately when these men showed up? Where's Daniel? Right? Where's Daniel? And as they're talking, he should have thought, wait a minute, where's Daniel? But he doesn't. See, Daniel is a faithful servant of the Lord. And as faithful servants of the Lord, we need to be willing to stand up for what is right. Now, where Daniel is at this time, we don't know. We're not told. But I know this, that Daniel, if he had been there, would have said, wait a minute, this isn't right. Now, what's going to happen to someone that asks a petition of the king? Well, you know the story. They're going to throw him in the lion's den. Verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, maybe he'd heard rumors of this going before the king. And then he hears that the king has signed this decree. He knew that the writing was signed. Notice, he went into his house, and his windows being what? Open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Ponder this. Daniel knows the law states you can't do this. Daniel says, okay, I still have to pray. What would you have done? Come on, what would you have done? Closed the door, the windows? Gone down into the basement? Daniel says, I'm going to pray with my windows open. Who was an example to Daniel? 3 men who were willing to stand when everyone else bowed. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he thinks back and he says, those men were willing to make a stand. Even though we say he kneeled to pray, was he not making a stand? See, sometimes it's easier to do what's right and live with the consequences than to do what's wrong and then fret about it for years because you didn't do what was right. To do what is right is very important. Very important. Can I tell you something? Those men would have been disappointed in Daniel if he had not prayed. See, they knew his testimony. And they're watching outside, waiting for Daniel to pray. His windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication unto his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree? Can you see the king there in his royal room on his throne? And 122 men come in and they're all excited about something. And they're talking and saying, we've got him, we've got him, oh, we've got him now. And he's probably wondering, what in the world? Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel. You think Darius knew immediately what had happened? Do you think immediately he thought, oh no, Daniel prays every day. That Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree which thou hast signed, nor maketh his, but maketh his petition three times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Let me ask you a question, ladies and gentlemen. Why could Daniel do this? Why? Take your Bibles and turn to Daniel chapter 1. Why could he do it? Did he just simply wake up and said, you know, I'm going to defy the king today? Why did he do it? Let's look at chapter 1, verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Now the verse continues to talk about the meat that they were being given, probably meat that they could not eat as Jews. But as a young man, Daniel purposed in his heart to do right. It was easier later to do right because he'd been living right for many years. Why was he able to do it knowing the consequences? Because he had learned to live right. How about us? In this world today that demands that we be politically correct. And can I tell you this, that Jesus Christ was not politically correct. But also, he could do it because he prayed. You think prayer is important in your life? It should be very important. See, if you're going to stand up for the cause of Christ, if you're going to stand up for your Creator God, you have to purpose in your heart to do right. And you must be willing to pray. You must be willing to do right. So, Darius figures, well, okay, you guys got me. We're going to call this a mulligan. Any of you play golf? You ever have mulligans? I've never done a mulligan. I don't know what it is. I've just heard the term. But do you think that Darius was looking for a loophole? Yes. Was there a loophole? No, there wasn't. What do you think Daniel was thinking? How quickly can you live in a lion's den of hungry lions? Because they kept those lions hungry. You know, there was no punishment in throwing you into a lion's den where they were well fed and just looked at you like, hey, what are you down here for, buddy? Daniel knew what was going to happen. And I'm sure he knew it wasn't going to be pleasant unless the angel of the Lord was sent. They were going to devour him very quickly. Back again to chapter 6. verse 16. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Period. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy king whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Well, either in life or death, you will be delivered from this sinful world, that's for sure. But you know what? The chapter doesn't end there, does it? It doesn't end. Verse 17, and a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Verse 18, then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. You can see him tossing and turning, right? He didn't want anything to eat. He didn't want any music. He didn't want anyone around him. He knew he had made a mistake. Verse 19, then the king arose very early in the morning. I always like that in the Bible. It says very early in the morning. One thing I have learned through life, that early in the morning means different things to different people. For some people, early in the morning is 6 o'clock. For some people, early in the morning is 8 o'clock. For some people, early in the morning is 11 o'clock. It just depends. And yet there are some people that I know that are up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Folks, that's early in the morning. Now, I don't know what time it was, but the Bible says very early in the morning. Probably the sun has just come up. And it says, and went in haste unto the den of lions. And he came to the den, and when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake unto Daniel, and the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Let's fast forward that for many centuries. It's Rome. Jesus has come and lived and been crucified. There are men and women now living that are called Christians. They are blamed for the problems of the Roman Empire. Many times they are oiled and put on poles and lit at night as lights to light the city. But one of the things that the Roman people liked was seeing people thrown to the lions. Christians, were they saved? No. Why was Daniel saved and not those Christians in the Colosseums of Rome? Why is it down through the years that hundreds and thousands have been martyred for the cause of Christ? Even in our world today, there are Christians who are being martyred for the cause of Christ. Well, in this instance, it shows that our God is able to deliver. And that Daniel's testimony was something that created a situation that we'll read about in a minute, that people saw his faith. Just like those that were in the Colosseums. When they were told to go out to where the lions were, they went out showing their faith. Can I tell you this? All of us are going to be put to the test at one time or another. It may not be lions, but it could simply be your testimony. Are you willing to stand for Christ? It could be simple as praying there for your lunch at work or for your meal in your favorite restaurant. It could be there with your family members as you gather together for a picnic or for a holiday, a birthday, and it's time to eat, and they're not going to pray. What should you do? Should you bow your head and pray? Yes. You know, there are times in which it takes a lot of guts just to bow your head and pray, doesn't it? Should it? No, we should be willing to pray, right? And yet we're put to the test and we say, oh, man, oh man. Daniel was put to the test. It could be very costly. Very costly. Verse 21. Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angels and hath shut the lions' mouths that they have not hurt me. For as much as before me innocence was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walked out of the fiery furnace, there were some things that people noticed. Number one, their clothes had not been consumed. Number two, there was no smell of smoke upon them. God had protected them. And here, God protects Daniel so that there is no tear in his clothing. There are times, folks, and I don't know that we always realize when God does protect us, when he keeps us from dangerous situations. But here we find Daniel is a testimony for God. Verse 24. And the king commanded, and they brought these men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them. And they break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. I can see it now. And I hope you in your mind's eye can see it. The king has rushed from his bedchambers to the den, and all these men are awakened and said, the king's going to the lion's den. And they get out of bed, and their families are saying, hey, let's go see what's happening. And they all run to the lion's den. They may even be joking and laughing. And when they hear the king yell down into the pit, they're saying, what is he doing? You know, there are times in which it's very quiet. Have you been to the tomb of the unknown soldier? And all you hear is the man walking from one side to the other, back and forth. No one's talking. The other day at my job, there was the funeral of a 6-year-old boy. He had never walked in his life. But they said he was a fighter. He knew that life was rough. There were people that gave some thoughts, and the dad got up and gave some thoughts and thanked the people. And it was supposed to end at 8 o'clock. And by 8 o'clock, all non-family members had left the room. And there now was only family members in the room and the casket of the 6-year-old boy. And the parents went to the coffin. Do you think there was any talking in the room? There wasn't a word. The funeral director that was in charge that day had wept openly. I had to go to one of the rooms to be alone. But as the parents went up and they took their 2-year-old daughter with them and they were there, every eye in the room, and I was watching, I'm kind of nosy, everyone in the room was watching. There wasn't one sound. Can I tell you this? I think when the king yelled down into the pit, there was silence up on top. And I wonder how long Daniel waited to answer. Did he say, I'm going to make these people wait for my response? Or maybe he had to be awakened. I don't know. But he comes over to the mouth of the den of lions and he looks up and he begins to talk. And I think everything he said was heard not only by the king, but by 122 men, their wives, and their kids. And the testimony of Daniel was known. Now, folks, I don't know that we will ever be put into such a situation like that. But I hope to God that if I am put in a situation like that, that I will be able to stand up for my Lord. I hope so. It used to be that they would burn Christians at the stake. And as they were there tied to the stake, they would begin to sing songs of praise, or they would begin to preach to those that were there. And so they began to tie them to the stake and bind their mouths so they couldn't talk. Because what would be worse than someone being burned at the stake for their faith? And there they are preaching and singing. Yes. What a testimony. What a testimony. Verse 25. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Peter wrote that there are those who are willingly ignorant. Can I say this to you this morning? That we are not to be willingly ignorant, but we should be willingly testimonies for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Shall we stand together? Take your psalm books as we have our invitation time, 401. Only trust him. Daniel trusted in his Lord. May we trust in our Lord also. Dear Heavenly Father, as we have this invitation time, bless it according to your will. May the Spirit move and may hearts be touched. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.